You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio, where we keep you informed, engaged, and entertained, and we talk each and every week about the Montreal Canadiens. So glad to have you here with us this week for episode number 361, titled Habs' Biggest Storylines, Seven Burning Questions Facing the Canadiens. Oh, that's right. The Canadiens have some daunting tasks ahead of them this season, and we're going to dig into them in a little bit. But first, let's introduce everyone. My name's Amy Johnson. I'm going to be your host for today's show. And of course, each and every week, I'm pleased to be joined in the studio by my co-host, who is the founder and president of Rocket Sports. His name is Rick Stevens, and he is right here. How are you doing today, sir?
Doing great, thanks. Pretty good sports weekend. We have the medal games at the Hlinka Gretzky Cup just winding up as we speak. We have some NFL preseason action, and of course, we have a brand new episode of the Canadiens Connection dropping. Ooh. So,
yeah, It's a good weekend. Mid-August, we have hit mid-August. It's crazy. Summer is winding down. Training camps are going to be here before you know it. And so as each week goes by, we creep closer and closer to kind of that unofficial start of the season. We're going to have more and more things to talk about, and we've got plenty to cover for you today. We're going to kick off things in the first segment, just getting you up to date on anything that might have happened over the past week related to the Montreal Canadiens, in terms of even any roster news and that type of thing. We're going to take a look at the Habs prospect report and get you caught up on some information about the younger players within the organization, and talk a bit about prospects, talk a bit about the Hlinka Gretzky Cup and those types of things. And we're also, of course, going to bring you some highlights from NHL news around the league as well. All of that, of course, in the first segment. Then in our second segment, that is when we tackle our big topic of the week. And as I said, this week we are looking at seven pressing questions that are facing the Montreal Canadiens heading into the 2025-26 season. And there are certainly some key things that we'll need an answer sooner rather than later, but they are key things, key questions that could really determine the success of the Canadiens for this coming season. So we're going to take a deep dive in each of those, talk about the potential for each of those questions and explore some of the potential outcomes.
There might be eight now.
There might be eight now?
I squeezed in a bonus one.
Well, then that's still seven questions
seven
and a
plus
bonus.
A bonus, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You're just packing in the value.
For sure.
You get, we advertise seven
as
questions.
As we do all summer, we're here giving you the everything you need to know all summer. Lots of value to Canadiens Connection podcast. The only thing we ask you to do is subscribe.
Well,
and pass it around and tell your friends and neighbors.
Yeah. And send us responses to the
question. Okay, we ask you to do a couple of
things. There's a couple of things, yeah. But they're really easy and they're pretty fun.
And we ask you to stay tuned to the third segment, which...
Because that's when we do reach into our text line and our comments page, and we pull out all of the best responses to our weekly Canadians Connection question of the week. And we bring you the best replies from last week, and we've got some great ones for you coming this week. And so you want to be sure to check, stick around for that. Maybe your comment was in there. But if you would like, you know, whether it's you're answering the question of the week or you just have something to say or you have a question you'd like to ask, you have an opinion you just want to put out there, be sure to reach out to us. The best way to do that is on our text line. That's the Rocket Sports text line. And you can reach us at 5853-ROCKET. That's 5853-ROCKET. You can always leave a comment on our YouTube channel. You can find us over at InsideTheCanadians.com. Just type that into your browser and that will take you right to our YouTube page, InsideTheCanadians.com. And as well, be sure to hit us up on social media if that's the easiest way for you to do it. X, Facebook, Instagram, just send us a reply or a DM at Habs Connection and follow that account while you're at it. All right, well, let's kick off what has happened this past week. As Rick said last week, last summer was the summer of love, so this summer is the summer of babies and new
additions.
Furry family members, yeah. As well. And so Lane Hudson's getting in on that action, him and his girlfriend Kylie, yeah. And her very, very cute and healthy eating canine pal.
He loves carrots, yeah. Their carrots. Little dog loves carrots and posted a picture. Wonderful picture. Well, you can tell, though, that the off season is winding down because those off ice pictures are getting fewer and farther between. Other than this weekend, of course, it's Lasso Montreal, mm-hmm. Festival in Montreal. And so we're going to be seeing some pictures of Montreal Canadiens players. Very popular festival with them. But now all the attention, for the most part, turns to the on-ice sessions.
The on-ice sessions and, Lane Hudson's contract negotiations, because he is now eligible to sign a contract extension. And there are plenty of fans who are tapping their watches saying, tick-tock, let's go. We want to see this done before the beginning of the season. Rick, there's a report out this week that negotiations are ongoing right now.
And water's wet. Both parties confident of reaching an agreement. Yeah, it's everything we know. And so I guess slow news. They reported things that we already know. But, I think they'll take their time on this.
I think so.
Lane Hudson particularly, he's entering the last year of his entry-level contract, and there's really no rush for him to move this thing along.
No.
The only thing I'd say there is don't take anything by the fact that he isn't signed yet.
No, I don't think so either.
I read anything into it.
I think they're going to get something done. It's just going to be a matter of making sure everybody's happy. In other roster news, and this was something we had even talked about, thrown out there towards the end of last season as something that we could see happening, and it seems like it's going to. La Presse reporting this week that former Canadiens defenseman David Savard is currently in talks with management to find a role for him within the team.
Yeah, and this is something that David Savard was at a charity golf tournament this week, and he was kind of reluctant to talk about, understandably so. He said yes, he's had some conversations with Ken Hughes and Jeff Gorton about some sort of role with the team. He kind of put it, well, we'll see if they need me. He's obviously wishing to stay connected The family has remained in Montreal for his children and going to school. They haven't gone back to Quebec City, but he's going to start once training camp starts. He's going to start to miss that whole routine and want to be involved in some way. And I think the Canadians appreciate the leadership role he's held, especially with the young defenseman over the last few years. And so they'll find some sort of role for him to take on. And I think that's a good thing for everybody.
I think so too. And I certainly hope they're able to find something for him soon. Last week we had reported the under the radar hiring of Eric Corneau as the Canadiens' new assistant video coach, Corneau replacing Eric Gravel. Since then, remember we talked about how the Canadiens are for whatever reason don't put a lot of effort into making staff announcements, even on the hockey ops side of things. And so you kind of have to keep an eye on just their hockey ops page on their website to see what changes. And that's how Rick had stumbled across this new hiring. But since then, Eric Corneau has actually released a statement. The Canadians still haven't, but Eric Corneau has released a statement.
He did. We talked about just his picture turning up on the website. And then a few days later, early this week, he released a statement that said, quote, "It's with great pride that I joined the Montreal Canadiens organization. I'm excited to take on this new challenge. Being in the National Hockey League has always been a childhood dream. I'd like to thank Yannick Jean, the head coach in junior that he worked with, and all the people who have trusted me throughout my career. Sounds excited to join the Canadiens as an assistant video coach, working with Daniel Harvey.
So you naturally were back on the page, the hockey ops page again, right?
Just scroll that page and you're gonna find out news. And we know that just after the NHL draft in June, that longtime scout, head of European scouting for the Montreal Canadiens, Krister Rockstrom, retired. So there was obviously a vacancy in the amateur scouting department, particularly with a focus on Sweden. There's a new picture that pops up in the amateur scouting area right at the end. Uh-huh. And one of these things is not like the other because all the others have the official Canadiens background and the suit and tie and all that. But no, we have a new, it's just, he's like a listed
placeholder photo.
Yeah. Well, he's listed as a European scout, Jan Ake Tiensu. He has been a coach in Sweden, mostly with their junior age teams, some of the national teams. And so he is listed as a new European scout for the Montreal Canadiens.
Wow. Just got to go find the news.
Mm-hmm.
If the news won't come to you, Rick goes and finds the news.
There
and
go.
Then we bring it to all of you every week. So there you go. All right. Let's
go to the beach. Take us with you. I'll do the scrolling.
That's right. Okay. Let's check in on the Habs prospect report.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
So each week we typically highlight one particular Canadiens prospect to just give you a brief update on. This week, actually, we're highlighting basically the VHL preseason.
Yeah.
Because there are two Habs prospects currently playing preseason hockey who play in the VHL. We'll start with forward Makar Hanin, who was a seventh round pick last year, 2024. And so far in the preseason, he's got himself a goal.
He does. The VHL is essentially equivalent to the AHL. It's the second highest men's league in Russia to the KHL. Sometimes called the Supreme League. And training camps, as we told you last week, already underway, and they've also already gotten into some preseason action. So Hanin had signed, it was back in towards the end of July, he had signed a 1-year two-way KHL contract, with, Moscow Dynamo. And so that would, like happens in, the NHL, he can participate in the lower league, and in his case is the VHL. So he's got into some action, a couple of games where he's picked himself up a goal already.
Another prospect playing in the VHL preseason is Alexander Gordon. He's a sixth round pick from way back in 2020. He's been in the organization for a while. He has already tallied himself in the preseason a goal and two assists.
Yeah, 24 years old, I think. The Canadians, because he's playing in Russia, have retained his rights indefinitely. And Gordine signed a contract mid-July with Gornyak UGMK of the VHL for the upcoming season, and has already got 3 points.
And see, this is why we highlight different Canadians prospects every week, because sometimes some of these guys just kind of get lost in the shuffle, and we don't want you to forget that they are part of the Habs organization. One guy that you probably have not forgotten was part of the Canadians organization was former Habs defenseman Josh Georges. He has a new job. He has entered the coaching realm, being named an assistant coach in the WHL with the Kelowna Rockets.
Josh Georges was a fan favorite. This is a nice story. He's had various roles for in the BCHL and other places, but now he's been named as an assistant coach with the Kelowna Rockets of the WHL. Why is that? Why is that good news? Well, he played his junior career. He spent 4 seasons with the Kelowna Rockets from the years 2000 to 2004. He wore an A his third year. In his final year, he was the captain of the Kelowna Rockets. And Josh Georges, he had a lengthy NHL career, 783 games, played for the Canadians, the Sharks, the Sabres, but he is also a Memorial Cup champion. And it's kind of interesting that Kelowna Rockets will host the Memorial Cup in 2026. So there's a chance that Josh Georges will have another chance to raise that Memorial Cup trophy, this time as an assistant coach, as he goes behind the bench of the Kelowna Rockets this year.
I think it's great news. I think Josh Georges is great coaching material. And if this is his first serious foray into the coaching realm, that he can start to work his way up the ladder, I would not be surprised if, 10 years down the road, maybe we see him in the AHL, NHL behind the bench somewhere. I think this is a great, great move for him, and congratulations, and great for Kelowna as well. As Rick mentioned at the top of the show, speaking of current prospects, the Hlinka Gretzky Cup taking place all this past week. It's wrapping up in Czechia and Slovakia on Saturday, today, the day that we're recording the podcast. In the final, the gold medal, two games taking place today, right, Rick? The gold medal game and the bronze medal game?
Kind of at the same time, yeah.
Okay. The U.S. facing off against Sweden in the gold medal game, Canada playing for bronze against Finland, because the U.S. did defeat Canada in the semifinals on Friday.
Yeah, close game, but the U.S. beat Canada 4-3 on final to advance to the final. And in the final, that's just wrapped up just now as we speak, it's the U.S. that takes the gold for the Hlinka Gretzky tournament. They beat Sweden 5-3. Canada wins bronze. They beat Finland 3-0.
That's tough for Finland. They will not like not meddling. But that's congratulations to all the prospects. There were...
And congratulations to the U.S. It's been 20 years or so, 22 years since they've won that that particular tournament. So it'll be a big deal for them.
It's going to be, well, I said before the show, we'll see how things go for them in the World Juniors as well, particularly since the U.S. is hosting this year.
During the tournament, it was announced that next year's Helenka Gretzky, and as we said, it's kind of the start of the scouting season for all the amateur scouts out there. Easier travel. They won't have to travel overseas to, in this case, it was Czechia and Slovakia. Edmonton is the location. They'll host next year's Helenka Gretzky, and appropriately so, with Gretzky involved, tournament. The Canadians had a presence there, and I thought it was interesting that there was an account on X, Martin Toth Vano, his account on X, and I'm going to quote what he wrote. Most scouts or GMs of teams sit in the stands for the Helenka Gretzky Cup. However, some teams have rented skyboxes. For example, the Montreal Canadiens have a skybox. I've seen names like Nick Bobrov and Marty Lapointe here. So, yes, the Canadiens were there from a nice luxury box watching the Helenka Gretzky tournament. You don't want to sit in the stands.
No, why would you want to do that? Other news from around the NHL. It's apparently arena season. First up, let's stop off in Ottawa with some news about the Senators. On Monday, the National Capital Commission and Capital Sports Development Inc., run by the Senators, announced they have signed a purchase and sale agreement for land in LeBreton Flats.
Big news for the Ottawa Senators, and as they look to replace their arena way out in Kanata, a downtown arena. Seems in sight, although, you know, it was a year ago that they leased the land. Now they've bought it, I guess, and 11 acres. The purchase price is somewhere in the neighborhood of $30 million, but there's a million steps to go through with environmental reviews and all of that. So still a ways off for the Ottawa Senators, but... big news for them trying to get their arena closer to where the fans want to be.
A couple of NHL teams this year that you're going to have to start learning some new arena names. First up is the Tampa Bay Lightning. They no longer play at Amalie Arena. It's been renamed the Benchmark International Arena.
All right. I have to make that note when I make my game notes that now Benchmark International Arena.
That's not as easy as Amalie Arena. Hate to say it. And this one for me is tough. The Flyers have a new naming sponsor for their building. The Wells Fargo Center, the Farg, is no longer, which, of course, before it was the Farg, it was the Wachovia Center. Before that, it was the Core States Building. However many times this bank has changed names.
The one I liked was First Union.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it was the FU Center.
It was the FU Center, yes. It was Core States, then it was First, because, and the reason I remember all of these, A, being a Flyers fan growing up outside, but I had had a bank account with what is now Wells Fargo since way back when I was in university, when it used to be Core States, and then my bank account changed to First Union, and then it changed to Wachovia, then it changed to Wells Fargo, and then I left that bank. But
it sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, they just kept getting bought by bigger and bigger banking companies. Mm. Well, the Wells Fargo Center is no more, and it's the Xfinity Mobile Arena now, which is Comcast Xfinity. I mean, we certainly can understand why it's Xfinity, but they have new signage this week out.
Purple signage.
Well, yeah. Xfinity Mobile is very purple, which is going to be very different in that arena. This is a big deal for a couple of reasons. First of all, the Wells Fargo Center is not just the home of the Flyers. It's the home of the Flyers. It's the home of the Philadelphia 76ers, the NBA team. It's also the home of Philadelphia's National Lacrosse League team, which is the Wings. It's the home of the Philadelphia's Major League Soccer team, which is the Union. I think they still play there. I could be wrong on that. But there are a lot of teams that call this arena home. And in fact, the Sixers had gone pretty far into planning an approval to build their own separate downtown arena away from the Philadelphia Sports Complex. That actually, those plans have now been scrapped, I believe. So getting a new building sponsor, naming sponsor for what is now the Xfinity Mobile Arena is a big deal. Get some more money into place. They've done big renovations in the arena in recent years, but there's talks that maybe there's going to be a new arena at some point. We'll see.
That's the one moving it downtown usually is what teams want to do. But in this case, I think it was a dumb idea. That's the one good thing about Philadelphia is they got all their stadiums in one.
Well, there's more than one.
Cheesesteaks, and they have all their sports facilities in one location. Baseball, football, hockey. It's all in one place.
Across the street is the NFL practice facility. Is across the street from the sports complex. It's all right there. There's restaurants. It's a great complex. And so I'm glad that it's staying that way. Moving on to the Detroit Red Wings. They are bringing back the Hockey Town moniker for their centennial season. Hockey Town, that special nickname of theirs, will return to center ice.
Yep, the logo has been placed at center ice for their 100th centennial season. It means a lot they haven't used that logo at center ice since they moved from the Joe Louis Arena to Little Caesars. Yeah. But you'll see that this season, along with other centennial events.
Yeah. Over in the KHL, there's a brand new team that is debuting this year. Pretty spectacular name, pretty spectacular logo and graphics package. I think the KHL folks are pretty excited about the Shanghai Dragons, which, as Rick chuckled to me earlier this week, said, who don't play in Shanghai.
They don't.
They are the Shanghai.
St. Petersburg.
They do. They play in St. Petersburg. Shanghai Dragons of the KHL put out a spectacularly done video this week. Very animated, very serious, very, you know, fire breathing dragons and martial arts and all that type of thing to announce the hiring of their new head coach, who is none other than former NHL coach Gerard Gallant.
The best part of that is the fire breathing dragons is pretty good, but Gerard Gallant and the traditional, I don't want to say hat because that would be disrespectful, but the
traditional costuming
that he has, yeah. and the hat comes off and there he is. And then little clips of him being very
dragon-like.
Well, yes, very, very animated on the bench. Yeah. It's a great, yeah. No, I thought it was one of the best coaching announcements that we've seen.
Yeah, definitely. It was very fiery Gerard Gallant. All right, we are going to take a quick break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. When we come back, we're getting right into it. 7 pressing questions facing the 2025-26 Montreal Canadiens. And as Rick says, those 7 questions have turned into 8 because there's a bonus question. What are those questions and what are our answers? Well, you got to stick around to find out. So stay with us. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Rocket Sports Media is currently recruiting talented, motivated, and committed people to join our team.
If you're a student wishing to gain experience, a young professional interested in broadening your credentials, an experienced hockey mind looking for a platform to share your expertise, or a passionate fan looking to contribute to our publications by connecting with fellow hockey fans, we want to hear from you. If you are bright, loyal, passionate, and willing to dedicate yourself to a remarkable team, email us at hello@rocketsportsmedia.com with "Join Our Team" in the subject line. We can't wait to hear from you. And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. If you'd like, you can follow me over on X. That is the social media platform I post most often on. My handle over there is at Flyers Rules. So feel free to follow me over there if you'd like. And of course, as I mentioned, with me in the studio is our president and founder here at Rocket Sports, Rick Stevens. You definitely want to be following him over on X. His handle is at Rocket Sports. And yes, that means that it is his account where you can find his tweets, but it's also our main account for all of our Rocket Sports content, which we'll also be putting out links to written content or YouTube content or podcast content or news about the Canadians and their prospects and that type of thing. So be sure you're following over there. And don't forget, if you haven't done so already, tap subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast. You'd never want to miss an episode. If you've been with us all summer, if you've been with us all year, you know that we never take a week off. We're here all year long, and we want you to be all set and ready to go for when the news really starts to ramp up in a couple of weeks when training camp is right around the corner. So be sure you hit subscribe and also head over to our YouTube channel and hit subscribe over there as well.
A comment on the break, the ad that you might have just listened to about us looking for new members to add to the team. I've been in communication with a couple of people that have reached out. Yeah. Fascinating. Again, we say Habs fans are everywhere, and folks have reached out to us from all corners in the world to join our team. We have a pretty, it's not just Amy and I on the Canadians Connection podcast. We have Chris, who writes, our senior writer. We have Mike, we have Brian with Fantasy. We have Dr. Stephen Morris, and it's great.
Williams.
Yeah, Patrick Williams, and it's great for to have this team to work with. And you know, we try to be pretty selective when adding folks to the team. Many of, like you, have been around for 15 years or so with our group. Mm-hmm. If you feel you have something to contribute, to give back, to something to say, then take that opportunity to reach out to us.
Definitely. All right. It's really no secret that coming into the off season this summer, the Canadians, the big thing was that they were looking to add a second line center to play with Ivan Demidov. And unfortunately, so far, Kent Hughes has not been able to do that. He's not been able to land, you know, that ideal player for the perfect price. So that item on the to-do list has not yet been checked off. They did give up some considerable assets, giving up two first round picks and a potential top four right shot defenseman in Logan Mailloux to acquire Noah Dobson and Zach Bolduc. And so those two players have certainly upgraded the lineup, but has Hughes really used the capital that he needed to achieve the goal of upgrading his top six forwards? I don't know. So as we start to wind down the summer season, there's still a lot of questions about the roster and about how the Canadians are going to shape up this season that still remain unanswered. And so we're going to walk you through some of the big ones and some of the key ones that could really make or break the Canadiens this season, depending on how they go, and kind of just explore what really needs to be answered by the Canadiens this season. And when we say answered, we don't necessarily mean that answered in terms of words, of spoken words, but in actions, both off ice and on ice as well. Amazingly, it's been the top of conversation in Montreal circles now heavily for the last couple of weeks. Kirby Dach is the buzzword all over again, and probably not for the reasons that everybody was hoping. We're going to start with question number one: is Kirby Dach going to start the season on time? And we have talked about this, yes, in the past couple of episodes in different angles, but we've got some new commentary to bring you about it this week. So let's start with Kirby Dach. And will Kirby Dach start the season on time? This is a big question for the Habs to have answered.
All right. If you're playing catch up and you haven't listened to our episode from last week, episode 360, I'd encourage you to do that. CanadiansConnection.fm, because did we nail this? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It started kind of innocently, maybe. Maxime Truman put out a column on Don LaCalise saying that that Kirby Dach had not yet recovered from knee surgery, and lots of back and forth and arguing about how he came to that determination, and a lot of it was kind of circumstantial. Kirby wasn't on the ice when he came in for the wedding. Kirby wasn't lifting enough weight, all of that sort of thing. So there's a lot of criticism, and so much criticism that Eric Ingles, one of the beat reporters for the Montreal Canadiens, came out and felt that he had to answer those allegations and push back and give a firm denial about the progress of Kirby Dach's summer training. I speculated, pure speculation, that he had been fed information by the Montreal Canadiens, because it's how things usually happen. Do I have a copy of the text exchanges? No, of course I don't. But when the Canadiens want something out, when they want to leak something, when they want to respond to something, and they don't want their name attached to it because then it would explode, they've been known to leak information on the French side, Renaud Lavoie, on the English side, Eric Ingles. Eric Ingles came out and said that Kirby Dach's summer training was progressing well, said that it was premature to suggest that he wouldn't be ready for the start of camp. And then here was the news. This was the new piece of information when Eric Ingles said it was never guaranteed that Dach would be ready for the start of camp. And I said to you last week, pay attention to that. That's news. That's something we hadn't heard before. You know, had we heard about a guarantee? No, of course not. But putting in that language was a backdoor to saying he may not be ready.
Mm-hmm. And we're not going to rehash everything from last week's episode. Nope. You should go listen to it. But the long and short of it was that by having someone heavily connected, you know, one of the most in-depth reporters tied to the Canadiens, come out and say there was no guarantee, there was never a guarantee that Kirby Dach would be ready for the beginning of the season, was, as I put it, the big red flashing warning sign, because every time that Kent Hughes or Jeff Gorton had talked about Kirby Dach ever since he had his surgery, and sometimes even in the off season this summer, they had given every indication that there wasn't any reason for any of us to think that Kirby Dach would not be at training camp, ready to go, and very competitive. And this was the first time we ever heard anything to the contrary of that.
Now that you mention that, let's play a clip from Jeff Gorton. This was on the 26th of June. This was just before the draft. And Jeff Gorton had come out and was fielding questions about the draft. And someone asked him about the progress of Kirby Doc. And Kirby had just been in Montreal for a check with the doctors, had been on the ice. And this is what Jeff Gorton said again.
A month and a half ago.
Yeah, June 26th.
Kirby Doc, summer's been really good. We saw him, he came into town about 10 days ago. He was here for a week working out and seeing the doctors. He looks great and ahead of schedule. So far, so good.
Ahead of schedule.
Ahead of schedule. That was 6 weeks ago.
Ahead of schedule.
You tell me that that's not... No, he didn't say, so he's guaranteed to start training camp. But ahead of schedule is even better than anything that they had said at the end of the season press conference or when he had the surgery. I digress.
So the fact that it was coming out and someone was saying that he may not be ready for the start of the season was news.
Yeah, and that's why all of us went, wait, what? Yeah. What do you mean? I mean, there it is, Jeff Gorton, June 26th. He looks great and he's ahead of schedule. So far, so good.
So I said, keep, that's news. Keep an eye on that. Now, this week, it was NHL.com that was doing their around the league kind of check-in with all the teams. At Adam Kimmelman, we know Adam.
Mm-hmm.
He had reached out to Kent Hughes and asked for a quote about Kirby Doc. In his preparation of his kind of summary, get ready for training camp kind of article. Kent Hughes says, quote, "Our hope is that he's ready to go." That's Kirby. "Our hope is that Kirby is ready to go either start of the season or some point early in the fall. But we certainly have no intention of rushing him in any way. We need to get Kirby back when Kirby is ready to be back physically and then be very mindful and careful with his return to play."
That is hedging.
That is very different. So the Canadians, again, knew that if they made an announcement saying Kirby's not going to be ready for training camp, that
the sky would fall in.
Right. So they prep. They first prep in.
So there's been plenty of media mumblings
releasing that piece of information last week about no guarantee to him starting on time. Let that ruminate a bit. Let fans get used to that, and then they go to NHL.com rather than one of the local outlets to let this information filter out a little bit further. That's kind of how it, that's how it's done. Now, Kirby Doc has had surgery on that same knee twice in the last 2 years. The surgery took place on February 28th. So I think that given all the hedging, as you call it, that's being done, that you should not expect Kirby Doc to be ready to go. He'll probably be there for training camp, but mm-hmm. is he going to be taking part regularly? Well, I don't think so. Is he going to be ready for the opening night roster? I wouldn't put him in pen in your roster. And that's a big deal. That changes things, particularly when you combine that piece of information with what you said at in your setup, and that is that the Canadians were looking already to add a second line center. That makes training camp and some of the decisions that happen around that second line a whole lot more volatile. And it's really, really tough news for Kirby Doc.
Yeah, and it's going to be, unless some sort of more official commentary is made over the course of the next 3 weeks or so, you can bet that Kent Hughes, Jeff Gorton, Marty St. Louis are going to get grilled about this at the golf tournament press conference to open training camp, because it's going to be the biggest, it's going to be the biggest thing that anybody's going to be talking about.
And listen, let's be honest, Kirby Doc, aside from his injury, wasn't having a great season last season. Slow to get going. He arrived at training camp, I think it can be acknowledged, not in the best shape. And we heard Jeff Gorton at the beginning of the offseason say, Kirby's going to have to be in better condition, mm-hmm. At training camp. And it's going to be up to him. And essentially kind of hinting that he'd have a short leash. Kirby only played 57 games last year, 22 points, a team worst minus 29. There's the injury situation. Kent Hughes said we still look at Kirby's potential and hope that that he can get there. But I think that dream is fading at this point.
Yeah, it's I wasn't 100% optimistic at the beginning of the summer, and I'm definitely less optimistic now. And as you said, even with the assumption that they were going to have a healthy Kirby Doc from the start of the season this year, they were still looking for a 2C. And now if Doc takes any amount of time to slowly come back, or knock on wood, suffers any kind of injury this year, they're going to be up against it in terms of that position. So we'll see how that works.
Well, I think there's some concern there too, because about re-injuring or inflammation. That second, the last bit of the quote from Kent Hughes is, we have to be very mindful and careful with his return to play.
Right. So, fingers crossed, I suppose. All right. So that is the question that seems to now be going on for eternity, and we'll see if we get any clarity on that one anytime soon. The second pressing question facing the Canadians this season is one that we don't have an answer to. We won't have an answer to for a number of months, but it could be a big deal. And that is, can Ivan Demidov have a Calder Trophy winning season? Could the Canadians have on their hands back-to-back Calder winners? Lane Hutson last year. Could Ivan Demidov do it this year? Sure, that would be a great accolade for the Canadiens organization, but it would be an even bigger deal if Demidov is actually able to turn into that caliber of player in his rookie season.
Yeah, the back-to-back Calder winners from the same team hasn't happened in the NHL since 1960. So not an easy feat. But like you say, more important than being handed the trophy and this year, I read the list that came from Jerome, our friend, our scouting friend, Jerome Berube. Mm-hmm. The list of competitors for the Calder Cup this year is pretty stiff.
Yeah.
But more important than the trophy itself is him being that player, having a season where he can show his skill, be dominant at times, and fit in with his line mates. That is more important than being handed the hardware.
But he's not, you know, his natural talent and skill, how quickly he adapts to the NHL game and how much success he finds there, his confidence, his playmaking abilities, his vision, those types of things. That's all one aspect of it. But another aspect that's really going to determine the success of him potentially being in a serious running for the Calder is going to be who plays on the second line with him.
Yeah, those two, and that might be a question on its own. Who plays second line, particularly second line center for the Montreal Canadiens? Those two questions are intertwined, mm-hmm. and how Demidov's season is going to go. Can he have an immediate impact? Well, he can. We saw that in the first game he played, yeah. and he was dynamic. He was electric, explosive. Yeah. He was electric. All of those things. But he's going to need the right line mates to be able to unleash that potential and help him with his transition and help him with other aspects of his game, including the defensive side of his game. So that's a key part to this.
Absolutely. Kent Hughes, I believe this was also in the interview with Adam Kimmelman.
At NHL.com, that's right.
The NHL.com article that was out this week. Kent Hughes did talk about Ivan Demidov and said, quote, "You know, he had those ups and downs last season, but I felt like we started to notice him figure things out throughout that five games in the playoffs in terms of how much time he had or didn't have." Hughes goes on to then say, quote, and then we've seen him through the summer. His work ethic is unparalleled. He's been in Montreal skating, working out, and skating again twice a day, 5 days a week. I'm trying to get him off the ice." and that we like to hear. We certainly want the kid to have fun, but it's encouraging to hear that at his age, first time spending a summer in Montreal, he's doing two-a-days and management can barely get him out of the rink.
He is driven. He is absolutely driven. And as Kent Hughes said, his work ethic is amazing. He wants to make an impact when he gets into the lineup in October. And he's working hard to get there. The twice a days at Brassard are one thing. And then you see him, like we saw him this week, he was involved in a kids tournament. Mm-hmm. He was playing against kids. He unleashed a Michigan playing with kids.
Why not?
A lot of fun for all the kids on the ice, except the goaltender.
Well, yeah.
He's having fun. He committed to being in Montreal all summer with his girlfriend, and he's at the ice for all of the workouts with the players that are down there, and then spending extra time on the ice in individual drills and as we're going to talk about in a minute, pairing up with some other Canadians.
Absolutely. So can Ivan Demidov have a Calder Trophy winning season? I think the potential is there. As Rick said, the competition's going to be stiff. It's going to be a harder trophy to win this year than it. Not saying that Lane Hudson had it easy last year, but there is more competition for it in this coming season. So we will see if he can do it. The third question facing the Canadiens this season: will David Reinbacher earn a spot on the opening night NHL lineup? And we haven't gotten yet. We'll usually do it in September when we make our bold predictions. But I'm going to make my bold prediction for this question is going to be that no, he won't. I believe he's going to start in Laval. But we had some insight into this as well, not only this week, but you know, Rick, this question even goes back to the fact that Kent Hughes traded away Logan Mailloux this year, which was one of the guys in line to compete for an NHL roster spot for opening night.
Yeah, and if you look at the simple numbers, you know, Noah Dobson being added, Jaden Struble was re-signed, and you look at Gooley, Dobson, Hudson, Struble, Matheson, Carrier, and Arbuzakai, you're starting to run out of spots. And so I think at the beginning of the off season, I think it was generally regarded that Reinbacher would be heading to Laval. And then, And the other part of that is that he's played 21, in the neighborhood of 21 regular season games in the AHL, not that many. So it made sense. It would make sense for him to go back to Laval. And then there started to be articles about the fact that his knee problems are behind him. And he's, looks strong, as he trains, in the off season. And then Kent Hughes weighed in on it, as he did again in the NHL.com, communication, said the following.
He said, quote, "We know David's an NHL defenseman. We're excited about that. We're excited about what he's going to represent to our organization over time, but we're not going to force him into things." Continued by saying, quote, "The AHL playoffs were great for him to have that. It was great that they went on the run that they did. So we'll see if he comes in," meaning comes into camp, "and surprises, and then we have decisions to make. Otherwise, there's the opportunity for him to go to Laval and keep developing and progressing."
So, yeah, he says all of the usual GM speak, playing both sides. Maybe he'll surprise in training camp. We don't want to rush him. All of that's usual. All of that's normal. All of that's unexpected. The interesting part about the quote is the first part. We know David's an NHL defenseman. Like, how do they know that?
You hope that he is.
Well, no, but they know that. He's saying that. He's being very definitive about that. So they've made that decision already that he is, that he's not going to be out of place if they were to throw him in the NHL lineup. He's an NHL defenseman. We know that is said. It's not going to hurt him if we send him to Laval. But in 20 games and some playoff games in the AHL, we already know that David Reinbacher is an NHL defenseman. That says that they're hoping, they would like to see him in the NHL lineup for the Montreal Canadiens sometime this season. May not happen opening night, but I think they've already made the decision in their minds that he's not going to look out of place if they call him up.
And I would agree with that. I'm still standing by that. I don't think he'll be there on opening night. I think he will start in Laval, but I agree with you that it's sounding more and more like they are hoping they're going to be able to call him up sooner rather than later and hopefully stick. Question number four. This is one of Rick's big metrics each year, and it will be, as we talk about this, you'll understand why this is a really important question for the Canadiens this year. Can the Canadiens special teams exceed the 100 rule? And first, just for anyone who's listening who isn't familiar with the 100 rule, why don't you explain what that means?
Yeah, it's not the best metric, but it's quick and dirty, in that if you take the efficiency, the success on the power play, and you add it to the success on the penalty kill, if that number is over 100, it's said that your special teams are pretty good, and the Canadiens have been under that value for years. Mm-hmm. It was only last season where they exceeded that 100 rule. They had a 20.1% efficiency on the power play. They had an 80.9% efficiency on the penalty kill. You add those together, you get 101.
Okay. And is it any surprise to anyone that coincides with the year that Alex Burrows wasn't running the power play anymore? But that's old news. So can the Canadiens special teams do that again? Can they exceed that number 100 with the combination of the special teams again this year, which is, as Rick says, it's kind of a quick and dirty indicator of how well the special teams as a whole are performing. And we all know that the better that special teams perform as a whole, the more likely that a team could maybe be a playoff type team, more successful overall. So let's look at what's changed. The big change right off the bat is the penalty kill. There are not just one, not just two, but there are three pieces that are gone on the PK now.
Yeah, that's tough. Jake Evans and Yoel Armia, very effective on the penalty kill for the Canadians. One of the reasons, probably the biggest reason, that the Canadians' penalty kill last season was ninth in the NHL. Yoel Armia, Jake Evans. The other part of it, not only was it effective in terms of killing off the penalty, but they were a constant threat to turn it around and score shorthanded goals. So that pairing with Armia off to Los Angeles is gone. Christian Dvorak was on the second wave of the penalty kill. He's gone to Philadelphia. And David Savard, who we talked about, a little earlier, has retired, and his big body in front of the net was effective blocking shots. So what are the penalty kill units going to look like this season? Jake Evans is going to be there. We know that. Josh Anderson spent time on the penalty kill, would also be, with his speed, a threat to score shorthanded. So maybe a Jake Evans, Josh Anderson with Caden Gooley. Caden Gooley's going to be on the penalty kill with Alex Carrier. That might be a good-looking first unit. On the second unit, it's been talked about in the offseason that Nick Suzuki might be on that penalty kill unit. He might be forced into service, but Nick Suzuki, he plays a lot. He plays first line minutes. He plays against tough competition. He plays the majority of the first wave power play. Are you going to have him on the penalty kill too and blocking shots? And he has a long Ironman streak going. Are you going to risk having him injured on the penalty kill? Alex Newhook can probably play penalty kill. Mike Matheson, he won't have a role on the, he's unlikely to have a role on the power play. They were kind of converting him last year to a penalty killing role. Jaden Struble, Arbor Jacki, Zach Bolduc said that he hasn't played the penalty kill, but he's willing to do so. So this is going to be, the penalty kill is going to be a big work in progress this upcoming year.
Power play one, first wave, you talked about Suzuki on the first wave of the power play. So is that going to look something like Suzuki, Caulfield, Slavkovsky, Demidov, and Hutson?
Yeah, we saw that at the end of last season. It was dynamic with both Hutson and Demidov there. Hutson and Demidov have excellent chemistry between the two of them. They seem to know what each other's going to do. Add those two players to the Canadiens' top line, you've got a very effective first power play unit. Second line, I think they were hoping that Kirby Dach would be there using his big body in front of the net. When is he going to arrive to bolster that second power play unit? Bolduc, who I mentioned, is probably going to get some second wave power play duty. Newhook,
Patrick Laine,
yeah, you want that shot on and Dobson to be the quarterback of that second unit. The omission there is obviously Mike Matheson, who has been involved in the power play up till now.
So let's just remind you before we leave this question, we've presented the changes that are probably going to be taking place on the PK and the power play. Last year, in the 2024-25 season, the power play was ranked 21st in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
The penalty kill was ninth in the NHL.
Yeah, so we may see some movement up on the power play with all of those players that we mentioned. Dobson being added, Bolduc potentially being added, Demidov for sure being added. Power play's got opportunity to improve that number. Penalty kill, will they drop out of the top 10? Maybe.
Maybe. So that is going to be a key question that the Canadians will want an answer to for this season. We talked about Demidov in question number two about whether or not he could have a Calder-winning season. Question number five, pressing question number five for the Canadians to answer this season, is related to the guy who won it last year, Lane Hutson. Can he avoid that dreaded sophomore slump? Can he carry his rookie season performance into his sophomore year and not experience that awful slump that so many players tend to go through in their second year in the league?
If anybody can, and Lane Hutson can.
Yeah.
And he's let's talk about driven player in Demidov. Lane Hutson is the same makeup.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want a summer break. He wanted just to continue. Will the fact that he hasn't signed a long-term contract yet, or maybe when the season hasn't begun, when the season begins, have any effect? I don't think so. He's not that kind of, he's not focused that way. I think that what will make the difference is who he's paired with. And I've seen lots of folks putting him with Noah Dobson. That would be a mistake, given that, you know, with each of the pairings, I think you need a physical presence. So a Caden Gooley and a Noah Dobson first pairing makes the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
Caden Gooley with being able to protect the front of the net, Noah Dobson being good on retrievals and carrying the puck out. That seems like a natural pairing. So then a lot of folks will then say, okay, let's put Mike Matheson on the left side with Lane Hutson on the right side. I don't like that. I'd like Lane Hutson has said he's comfortable on the right, but put him on his natural left side.
Yeah.
And obviously, Mike Matheson is not a physical defenseman. The best he can do is send a strongly worded letter. If someone's getting in the face of Lane Hutson, you need someone with a physical presence next to him. Is that a David Reinbacher? Is that a Jared Struble? Jaden Struble. I think putting him, who he's paired with, is going to make sure that he's protected. One of the things that is difficult for young rookies is they can go through, the NHL schedule and with a group of teams, and they can fool a team once, they can fool a team twice. But when it comes around to their sophomore season, the NHL knows who this player is, has figured them out, knows how to stop them, and is going to start targeting them. And mm-hmm. I think that's the big reason is why you're going to want Lane Hutson to be able to do his thing without the fear of being targeted or being intimidated by it, although he hasn't shown that. And are we going to see Hutson and Dobson? At times we will, when the Canadians late in the game are wanting to generate offense if they happen to be behind in the score, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really key, those pairings, when they put them together for the season, that's going to go a long way to making sure that Lane Hutson has another outstanding, successful season.
That's right. And, you know, as we said, all eyes are on his contract extension, what it's going to look like. Is it, you know, what's more important to the Canadians, term, money? What's more important to Lane Hutson, term, money? Is he going to sign a long-term contract? I think he probably will. I think it'll
probably. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's
Canadians want him to sign long term. Yeah. He wants to sign long term.
And I think that he will as well.
In the range of a Noah Dobson contract. Canadians alumni have spoken. It was Larry Robinson this week that said that, there's this question about Lane Hudson and his size and whether he'll be able to compete for a long time in the NHL. And Larry said, I remember those same things being said about Wayne Gretzky. So speaking about Lane Hudson in the same breath as Wayne Gretzky is something. And then one of the other Canadiens alumni had something to say about and a comparison about Lane Hudson.
That's right. Serge Savard chimed in on the Lane Hudson topic, saying, quote, "Time will tell, but he's probably the most talented player the Canadiens have had since Guy Lafleur." No pressure, kid. No pressure. Savard goes on to say, quote, "Ever since I saw him from the very beginning, I said he was the Canadiens' best player. I was convinced early on that he would be a big star in the National Hockey League." So Dem's big words from Serge Savard.
Mm-hmm.
That's big shoes to fill. Most talented player for the Habs since Guy Lafleur. So we'll see. We can all hope that Lane Hudson has just as successful, if not even more so, a season this year. Speaking of having a successful year, pressing question number 6 for the Canadiens for this year. This is another key one. Can Patrick Laine have a bounce back year? Because he needs one. He really does need one.
And you can say that there were periods last
year.
There was a month or two where he looked like he was having a bounce back.
Yeah.
Month. He had the injury in training camp when he arrived. He gave a boost to the Canadiens' power play. Without Patrick Laine, the Canadiens and his power play goals, the Canadiens likely wouldn't have made the playoffs last year. But we need to see more than just a power play specialist this year.
Yeah.
And partly because there's really no room for him on the first wave of the power play. Yes, he'll get time on the second wave, but he needs to be effective 5-on-5. He needs to be effective. He needs to score even strength goals, and he can't be a liability. He can't be a drag on second line, third line, wherever he might play. He has said recently that he loves Montreal. He wants to stay in Montreal. He spent the summer in Montreal, and he'd like to sign a contract extension. And this is one that, yeah, it's nice to have players of his caliber that want to be with the organization. But is he one of the players? Remember when he was signed, the term fit the Canadiens' plan that he would be one of those transition players, he would be a fill-in until the Canadiens' prospects matured and were ready. But is he someone you want, particularly if he doesn't have a bounce back season, to sign a contract extension? Now he's doing everything in the off season to try to convince people that he wants to be around. And we've seen him at Broussard. He's been at Broussard a lot, but even the when the regular sessions are over and most of the players have gone off to the showers, it's Patrick Laine working out with Ivan Demidov. Patrick Laine is not, he knows the situation that if you can develop some chemistry with Demidov, that you're going to get more ice time. So those two have been fast friends on ice this summer, and we'll see if that can continue once the season starts.
Pressing question number 7 for the Canadiens. Are they going to be a playoff team this year? They made it in for a short period of time last season. It was quite the run up to the playoffs. Can Can and will they be a playoff team this year?
On the one hand, you have Canadiens fans who are saying no doubt, and they're going to take it's going to be beyond the first round. They're going to take a next step in the playoffs, and you know, this is just progressing towards that being a regular competitor each year, for, a contender, as Jeff Gorton says, perennial contender. A few weeks ago, we played a clip from Frank Cervelli, who was on Off the Post, and said Canadiens make the playoffs. They were fortunate last year that everything went their way. And it did in terms of their injury situation and the way other teams performed. Everything kind of clicked and fell into place. And Frank said, you know, they're going to be younger this year, and there's going to it's going to be more difficult for them mm-hmm. to make the playoffs. So there's two schools of thought there. Kent Hughes in the NHL.com interview was asked that as well.
Well, he says, quote, "We are better across the board by virtue of having such a young group that's gained a year of experience, a year of know-how. They've learned a little more, especially with the playoff run. But I would say that from a period of time in the season, we were in playoff mode trying to get back into the race and then kind of finalize it. So I'm hopeful that that experience provides a boost to the roster for next season." So it's kind of tempering it a little bit. Like, yeah, that's great that they had some playoff experience, but perhaps the experience that might be a bit more valuable was trying to get a goal accomplished and fight back, claw back in during the season.
They made the playoffs on the with their last game of the season. So it was a struggle. They did it. The goal was achieved, and that's valuable in the eyes of Kent Hughes.
And we'll just have to wait to see. I think the answer to this question is going to depend a lot on the answers to the six questions previous to that.
For sure.
And so if you don't get good answers from the previous six questions, then you're probably not going to get a good answer for question number seven. And vice versa.
So that's all seven burning questions.
But you have a bonus.
I do.
You like to give us value.
Mm-hmm.
Is there going to be a September surprise from Kent Hughes? Meaning, is there going to be a big splashy announcement that's going to be made before the season starts?
What does that mean exactly as a September surprise? Well, we've seen when things get quiet in August in the past, you know, that's when Kent Hughes is, Patrick Laine was one, the Sean Monahan deal, another. Will there be a September surprise from Kent Hughes this season? And what will it be?
Well, it could be one that if you're a fan who would like, you know, burn things down if this happened, I'm right there with you, would be Carey Price's contract being traded. No, thank you. Sorry, I'm in the camp of no thank you. Or on the flip side of that, I'd be all for this. Will Mike Matheson be traded?
So, a few things there. Is there a place for Mike Matheson? Ideally in the lineup, as far as the defense pairings go, Mike Matheson, Alex Carrier on the third pairing. If Mike Matheson is not playing, you know, 20 plus minutes a game, is he going to be happy? He's in a contract year. Is that going to affect his play? Mike Matheson not on the power play, relegated to penalty kill duty. You know, is it time to move on when Mike Matheson can be there can be a pretty good return for a Mike Matheson? You said about Carey Price. Yeah, absolutely. Carey Price is going to retire as a Montreal Canadian, whether his contractor trade is traded or not is irrelevant. It'd be nice to have him stick around. But the two might be might be in combination. We explained that a couple of episodes ago, how there is a bonus payment that is waiting to be paid out by the Montreal Canadiens on September 1st for Carey Price's contract. It would mean that if a team is willing to take on his contract, that they would have a they would have the big cap hit ready to use if they need to get to the floor without having to put out a lot of cash. That would free up the Canadiens to be able to make a trade that may involve bringing in someone who can play on that second line. And is there an interest, particularly because of the Kirby Dach news, of the Canadiens doing that sooner rather than waiting till the trade deadline or waiting till next offseason? And yes, can it happen without Carey Price's contract being traded? Yes, but they would have to put Carey Price on offseason LTIR, and they'd rather not do that to retain some flexibility. So will it be something like that, or will there be another unexpected September surprise, just as the golf tournament is is getting underway from Kent Hughes?
Only time will tell, and we're all kind of on pins and needles waiting to see what happens over the course of the next few weeks. So there you have it, 7 plus a bonus pressing questions for the Montreal Canadiens for the 2025-26 season. Lots of really big things riding on what could develop this season and unfold. And so we're going to focus on one of them for this week's Canadiens Connection Question of the Week. This is where we want to hear from you. We want your answers to this question. Does the uncertainty of Kirby Dach's health increase the chances that Kent Hughes makes a trade in September? So this right in there with that bonus question, the September surprise. Do you think that the uncertainty of Kirby Dach's health increases the chance of a September surprise by Kent Hughes? Let us know, and let us know what you think that surprise might be. You can text us at 5853-ROCKET, drop a comment on our YouTube channel, or hit us up on social media on X, Facebook, or Instagram at Habs Connection. We will, of course, be picking the best responses to read right here on the show next week. So make sure you get in your replies. We are going to take another break here on the show. And when we come back, we are going to do just that for last week's Canadiens Connection Question of the Week. We're going to bring you some really great replies that we got from listeners all over the world right after this next message. So stick with us. You're listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
If you're a business owner looking for the perfect platform to reach a targeted audience of customers, Rocket Sports Media is the solution. Our global hockey community provides unmatched social media reach to an attentive demographic of sports and entertainment fans. We can provide visibility to your company, helping you to engage and leverage this prime group of potential clientele. Drop us an email at hello@rocketsportsmedia.com for further details and information regarding this unique marketing opportunity.
And welcome back to episode 361 of the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Don't forget, if you haven't done so already, follow us on social media, subscribe to the podcast, subscribe to the YouTube channel. And hey, if you've been enjoying today's episode or any episode of ours that you've listened to, won't you do us a favor and just tap the share button as well, whether it's on YouTube or social media or on your podcast player itself, and just share this episode with all of your social media followers. It's a really helpful thing. It only takes a second for you to do, but we really appreciate it. Don't forget, we want to hear from you this week about the Canadiens Connection Question of the Week. Does the uncertainty of Kirby Dach's health increase the chances that Kent Hughes will make a trade in September? Don't forget, you can text us. You can leave a comment on YouTube. You can leave us a comment on social media. You can also leave us a comment over on the forums, the Montreal Canadian Forum, the chat board over at our new home for our written content, which is hockeyhotstove.com. Don't forget to check out hockeyhotstove.com. Click the Canadiens logo to find all of our written content about the Canadiens all summer and then going into this season, but also hit the forums tab and scroll down to the Montreal Canadiens forum where you get to dive into thousands of comments and conversations about the Montreal Canadiens with lots of Habs fans in there. So you want to be sure to check that out as well. Before we get to the comments from last week's Canadiens Connection question of the week, the one thing I have also mentioned here on the podcast before would be, regardless of whether or not you are subscribed to our YouTube channel, be sure you visit over there. You can find it again at insidethecanadiens.com daily and tap on the community tab. It's actually, I think, now called posts, the posts tab, where we have a post that we put out every day on that tab. And sometimes it's a question we're asking you. Sometimes we're doing a poll that you can interact and take part in. Sometimes we're reminding you about some content that you might have missed. All sorts of things happen there. So be sure you're checking that out. And this week, a couple of things. We had a poll about which position battle fans would be most excited to see in Habs training camp. And by and large, of everyone that replied to that, I believe it was more than 60% of you said that battle for second line center is the one that everyone is going to be most tuned into. We had another question on a post that said, training camp's around the corner. Who's your dark horse pick to make the opening night roster? And we had a great response from at Rick Bengals 5240, who says, Owen Beck. He says, I think he's a strong player, and I'd go so far to say if he was spoon-fed the opportunities given to Juraj Slafkovský, Beck would have more points.
Oh.
So I thought that was a very interesting reply. His dark horse pick to make the opening night roster is Owen Beck.
Owen Beck had a great season in the AHL with the Laval Rocket, his first season. Third or fourth, I have to check that, in scoring for the Laval Rocket last season.
So it's certainly a good possibility. He's one that's going to be probably very competitive at training camp. We'll see how that works out. Thank you for your response to that. So now we are talking about last week's Canadiens Connection question of the week. And it, just to remind you what it was, who is the key roster player for the Montreal Canadiens to have a successful season in 2025-26? If the Canadiens are going to be successful this season, who's the key roster player who's going to help them get there? And we had a number of good responses. We've picked out the best ones. And I believe these come from YouTube.
The first is from at Paul Cav 8288. And as I mentioned, we also talked about Kirby Doc, and Paul's mind was on Kirby Doc and said, it's just the start of Doc's 6 month of rehab. Can take 6 to 9 months to be completely recovered. Start of training camp is always questionable because he won't get clearance for contact until camp starts, which is normal. He can't participate in scrimmages that haven't been approved. All true, Paul, but that isn't what. And as we played the clip earlier in this show, it was Jeff Gordon saying that Kirby Doc was ahead of schedule.
We then have a comment from at Mike King T2U. And this comment is actually not in response to our Canadiens Connection question of the week, but this was an interesting comment because it related to something else that we had talked about in last week's show, where we reviewed the Daily Faceoff had a ranking of, I think it's the top projecting the top 30 players in 2030.
Yeah, which, as I said at the time, is a great premise. It's an interesting question. I just think they botched the execution because in the top 30 players in the 2030 version of NHL, there were no Montreal Canadiens. There was no Hudson, no Demidov, no Suzuki. There's a couple of honorable mentions. But in the top 30, no Montreal Canadiens at all.
Okay, so at MikeKing-T2U says, funny, Daily Faceoff has Celebrini right near the top, and Hudson beat him in total points as a defenseman and is nowhere to be seen. And how can Demidov and his talent not be in that top 30? LOL. So I believe that Mike King says Daily Faceoff, it's a bunch of baloney. And
yeah, we don't understand
we
it
don't
either,
understand
Mike.
It either.
Next one from HabsFan34. HabsFan34 says, as a lifetime Habs fan, all we want is for the team to get better. How much? It doesn't matter as much. So he just wants incremental progress, better than last season.
All right. At Michael Bagchi-E1P says, he's got quite a bold prediction here. He says, the Pens will tank, Penguins will tank, and then Montreal has the chance to get the kid next year. What will he cost? So this is Michael, the kid.
Uh-huh.
Obviously still holding on to the hope that Sidney Crosby is going to wear the CH at some point in the near future.
I wouldn't want to deal with Dubas and his demands. Next one comes from our dear friend at Center High 7948. He said, question of the week. That's a great question. It's a tough one, but I think Hudson is the key to the season. He made such a huge difference last year with his skill set. After that, I think Rocket Stevens is right, mentioning Slavkovsky. I think he has to now take a step in consistency to move his to move things along. And Patrick Laine needs to make the same difference on the power play with a major improvement on his 5-on-5 play. Then we'll hope that Demidov has the same impact in his rookie season that Hudson had. That's pretty much the players needed to have success. Suzuki is the only guy that showed regular consistency year after year. Now, those players mentioned will be necessary for the Habs to take a step forward. You come up with great questions, but this one was tough.
Oh, well, we're glad that all of you are enjoying these questions. Maybe it gives you something to chew on in the summer months, the slower summer months, but also get you thinking and get you excited about the year ahead. I know that we're getting more excited about the year ahead as we inch closer and closer to training camp, yes, but the rookies will report first, and so it's not going to be much longer before that's upon us. But between then and now, we will still be here each and every week bringing you all of the latest news and giving you some more kind of previews and things to think about as we get closer to the opening of the hockey season. Thank you again for all of your submissions for last week's question of the week. Don't forget to get in your responses to this week's Canadiens Connection question of the week, and then come right back here next Saturday, August 23rd, for the latest and newest edition of the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadiens Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.